I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs.
That can be a lot of money, but are your bills even accurate?
It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the Monday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show here on Thanksgiving week. Hope you had a great weekend. Appreciate you being with us. We have a lot to discuss with you today. The aftermath of the Rittenhouse acquittal. How did the media react to it? What are they now saying? Since he is not guilty and the facts came out and were really not in dispute, did they change the storyline at all about Rittenhouse? Plus, there's actually some Rittenhouse audio from an interview with Tucker Carlson we can share with you where he says this had nothing to do with race. You have the terrible situation in Waukesha where a driver ran into, I mean, it is at a minimum a vehicular mass murder situation or mass manslaughter situation. A driver ran and killed five, wounded dozens. And we're being told right now, it's very early. There's a lot of facts that still have to come in. We don't have clarity. We have on the motive. We do have an individual who is in custody. He is being questioned right now. He's a longstanding criminal. And we'll bring you more on that. There's supposed to be a press conference from the police in Waukesha at 2 Eastern time. So we'll be on air as that happens. We'll tell you what they are saying. Already, though, fights underway about the narrative, so to speak. What happened here? Why did it happen? They want you to believe, as I'm speaking to you right now, the storyline is that the man who is in custody right now was fleeing another incident. Daryl Brooks, 39 years old, from Milwaukee. They have the suspect in custody, and they're saying that he was fleeing another incident and somehow drove, and it's all on video, you can see much of it, drove into a parade and mowed people down. And the media report right now is he was fleeing something else. So this was almost like a horrible accident, they want you to believe. I don't buy that. I'll just tell you that right now. I don't know what exactly happened here, but fleeing another incident and mowing down people, I'm not buying it. I want to hear more about what's going on here. I want more facts. We also have big protests going on in Europe around vaccine mandates and lockdowns because places like Austria are seriously locking down. And Fauci, Clay, finally admits, we will definitely get into this in a bit. We got Dr. Scott Atlas, finally admits every 6 months, you're probably going to have to get the booster every six. If that's what it takes, that's what we'll do. Exactly what we've told you all along here. I just want to note, Clay, that we have. Let's start from the very top, so to speak, with Biden and Kamala Harris. This verdict comes down and it was very clear from the video evidence, the testimony, everything that Kyle Rittenhouse engaged in self-defense. Here's what Kamala Harris says about this very obvious and proper and just verdict.
The verdict really speaks for itself. As many of you know, I've spent a majority of my career working to make the criminal justice system more equitable, and clearly there's a lot more work to do. Thanks.
Well, the verdict does not speak for itself. I mean, she's clearly dodging and pandering at the same time, Clay.
Just like Biden did, Buck, because initially Joe Biden came out and actually said something somewhat normal, which was, hey, we have to respect, I'm paraphrasing, the decisions of juries in the United States justice system. And then later he came out with a public statement where he said he was horrified. And again, I'm paraphrasing, incredibly troubled and angered by the verdict. And so this to me is what goes on. Joe Biden, I think in general, is a fairly, at times, reasonable person. I don't think that Joe Biden controls anything that happens in the White House now, because I think he talked and gave that answer, and immediately all of the left-wing loons were upset that Biden had not condemned the verdict. By the way, Biden already called Rittenhouse a white supremacist, something that he should apologize for, and I think ties in with that awful situation of the people who were killed, murdered by the driver in suburban Milwaukee, which we'll get to much more, I would imagine, during the course of this show. But Buck, this is all part and parcel of narrative trumping facts and what goes on in America today. Everyone on the left wing, as soon as Kyle Rittenhouse killed two people in self-defense, because we now know that he did it in self-defense, the jury has looked at all the evidence. You and I looked at all the evidence. We told our audience that the evidence reflected that this was just a self-defense case, that there was no racial element to it at all. They immediately brand him a white supremacist, even though the people he shot were white, even though it was self-defense. Look at what's going on in the situation in Wisconsin right now, where the black driver plowed through a Christmas parade and killed multiple people. We are immediately told by the same people, this does not involve race at all. And this is what gets me so fired up, Buck. Almost immediately, every single time a incident happens in America now, it is a basic race, who is to blame. And when it is a white guy, it is immediately evidence, no matter what the white guy's motivation might have been, that America is an awful, racist, white supremacist laden, horrible country rooted in systemic inequality that demands equity. And this, you saw this, Buck, we were texting about it over the weekend. CNN comes out and says the biggest threat in America today is angry white men, right? This is a storyline that is immediately propagated whether race is involved at all. When any other race is involved, the story gets memory hold. And it's as if it never occurred. Race had nothing to do with it at all, time after time after time, which is why people are so skeptical of so much of the media, because it's narrative over fact.
You particularly see the battle, Clay, that you're describing, the battle for the truth, really, that you're describing in cases involving terrorism in the past.
Yes.
And I used to do this at, I've done it many, many times at Fox, at CNN. And what you get from the lib perspective, so when you go on CNN, you always know, to your point, if it is a white shooter or a white assailant, there is zero expectation of waiting for the facts to come in.
Correct.
There is zero demand that we don't know the true motivations here. Meanwhile, when you have a non-white attacker, terrorist, whatever it may be, in a situation like this, a very high-profile, mass casualty event, immediately you're told, not only wait for the facts, but then it very quickly turns into, you can almost see the transition happening in real time. We may never know the motive, Clay. And yes. I just want to give folks some examples of how absurd that has been in the past. Now, I'm not saying this is a, to be very clear, there's nothing to suggest this was a jihadist incident, but I'm going to talk about the narrative games they play in the media in the past with incidents like this. Pulse nightclub shooting. We had transcripts of that guy saying, I'm doing this for ISIS and for Allah and for, you know, Islamic Jihad, whatever. We had him saying the FBI excised words from the transcript. And you still had people saying, well, was it a hate crime or was it actually jihad? Or we may never know the narrative. They play this, we may never know the narrative game in ways that are insulting to all of our intelligence. How often does, let's just, let's step back and look at this actual, this incident here in Waukesha. How often does a bank robber who's trying to get away, because they're telling us there was a stabbing incident. We'll have more information later on the show when they do the press conference, but a stabbing incident. How often does a bank robber, let's say, decide that they're going to try to escape and they're not, this is not in Midtown Manhattan. This is in a small town in Wisconsin. They're going to drive through a parade as part of their panic escape attempt? I'm sorry. That's asking us to believe too much. Is it possible that he was trying to escape, saw this parade, and then lost it and decided, I'm going to run down the there was actually a group called the Dancing Grannies that were among the casualties here. That to me is possible, but that this was all some accident, heat of the moment, he was just driving, absolutely not.
Well, here's the way to think about it, Buck. And I always, on this show, I believe every single day we are red-pilling more people because they're looking at the media and they are saying this doesn't add up. What we are being told is artificial. If a black group parade had been going on and if a white guy had been fleeing some smaller, lesser crime and he had plowed through the black parade, right? A parade, let's say it's celebrating, let's say it's a predominantly black institution. They're having their homecoming parade.
If it were a Kwanzaa parade, for example.
Anything that could be going on. Would anyone in the left wing of the media be willing to say, oh, race is not involved in any way in this incident? It just so happened that a white criminal who has a long record of checkered behavior was fleeing this incident and he drove right through a black parade, wounded dozens of people, killed many, and race was not involved in any way. They would. And then remember, Buck, because this guy, this black guy who drove through the parade in Waukesha, this guy had BLM support in his past, right?
On Facebook, yes. Identified social media accounts.
He also had published some rap songs that were very much anti-Donald Trump, right? What I'm saying is, if there were anything associated with this white guy in his past that anybody could identify that were in any way race-related, it would immediately be characterized as a hate crime. It would be evidence of how unsafe America is with these white terrorists, domestic terrorists running everywhere. The FBI and the DOJ has to investigate them more. That is the story. And everybody out there listening knows that would be the story on CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post. All of them would be running with it. 100%.
They're allowed to rush to judgment.
That's
and
right.
Never apologize for it. And then they use the apparatus of the media to essentially threaten everybody from just coming to basic conclusions in the early stages, because delaying the public's recognition of what this is part of the narrative creation. If we find out this guy's motivation next week, if they finally say, yeah, it turns out he actually decided that he was going to mow down some people because he was angry, let's say, about Kenosha, or whatever the reason may be, that's obviously when the people have put out there, it doesn't have the same impact a week or two later. They've moved on to other stories. So delaying the narrative is really just a means of trying to lessen the impact that it
memory
has on the public psyche.
It memory holes it.
That's exactly what they do so many times in the past. And I'm just going to say this. You can see on the video, the way they're reporting on this, it makes it sound like this guy was traveling at high speed down an alleyway and just happened to find, oh no, he ran into a parade full of people. That is absolutely not what is apparent on the video. He lines up behind hundreds of people packed together, walking in a parade, you know, down the middle of a street, and mows dozens of them down. Dozens of them. Police shot at him to try to stop him from mowing people down. This wasn't a car accident because a guy was fleeing during a bank robbery. Something else happened here. And I'm not going to let, and I know you're not going to let the lib media get away with acting like we're all too stupid to see that something doesn't add up at a minimum with what they're telling us. And I think it's a lot worse than that. I think we're going to find a lot throughout the course of the day that supports a narrative that the left doesn't want us to hear or to know. Black Friday is this Friday, folks. It's the annual tradition of retail stores giving you out-of-the-world crazy prices to attract you and your holiday gift list. But Pure Talk Cellular says, why wait when you can buy an iPhone 12 from them for just $479? Pure Talk is the same company offering you a $30 a month price on unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data on a 5G network. That service is on the exact same 5G network using the exact same towers as one of the big carriers for a lot less money. In fact, Pure Talk saves the average family over $800 a year. Clay, how do folks switch?
It's incredibly easy. All you get to do is you get to keep your phone number and your phone. And all you have to do, think about this, is get your phones in your hand right now. 30-day risk-free guarantee, nothing to lose, from your cell phone right now. Dial #250 and say Pure Talk. That's it. You save 50% off your first month, and you can also save on a new phone if that is your desire, just in time for the holiday season. Again, with your phones in your hand, join tens of thousands of other smart listeners and go with #250. Say Pure Talk. Some restrictions apply. Call for details.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Welcome in, hour number two, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through a holiday week edition Monday show. We are joined now by Dr. Scott Atlas. He is a senior fellow in health policy at Stanford University's Hoover Institution, former advisor on COVID to the president, and author of the new book, A Plague Upon Our House, My Fight to Stop COVID from Destroying America. Dr. Atlas, appreciate the time that you are spending with us. Let's dive right into it. How much of a disaster has Dr. Fauci been for America in terms of the advice that he has given over the last 18 months based on your experience?
Well, thanks for having me. You know, I think this is something people have to understand, that they have to be critical thinkers about what is said, because the advice from the doctors on the task force 6 months before I got there, the 3.5 months I was there, and following that, has been inconsistent, erratic, anti-science, contrary to the science, and they simply lack critical thinking. Now, the head of the task force actually was Dr. Birx, who was the medical task force coordinator, who wrote all the policy advice to the states. She visited dozens of states. She spoke to all the local health officials. Dr. Fauci was not in charge, but he was the most influential figure on the media to the American public. And what I saw in the task force was shocking, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, because we have to be aware that we can never let these kinds of people be in charge again. They were not critical thinkers. They've both been in government bureaucrat positions for 40 years. I came in as a health policy scholar, 15 years of health policy work, and 25 years of medical science, research, clinical work in some of the best medical centers. And so what I would do to the meetings, I would bring in a dozen, 20 different scientific publications, data from all over the world, and I would go through the data when I was asked my opinion. Their approach was something very different. Their approach was simply saying, I'm an outlier, or saying that, you know, most people agree that we should be doing lockdowns. So, of course, their position, their policy was lockdowns, restrictions, closed schools, closed businesses, curfews, quarantines. And this was the policy during the entire year that was implemented by almost every governor. I visited only one state during my 3.5 times here, and that was Florida, who did something very differently. And so, you know, we have a problem here because we have bureaucrats who were not critical thinkers. They never cited the data. They never refuted anything I said with the data. And what's more, they never disagreed with each other. They had a pact that Birx revealed later, which was if one of them was fired, they would all just quit, which is not exactly the attitude of people trying to help the country, in my opinion. And secondly, I'll give you another anecdote here. You know, I wanted to make sure that the president had the most information possible from the experts of the world, of the country. So I arranged a meeting. I brought in people from Harvard, Stanford, Tufts University, UCLA. These were the medical scientists who were doing the research on the pandemic, and they were there to answer the president's questions. Dr. Birx was asked to come to the meeting. She refused. And in fact, that almost scuttled the entire meeting. And then she complained to the media that there were, quote, parallel streams of data, unquote, being given to the president that she didn't know about, as if she's supposed to be the funnel. So this is the attitude of a bureaucrat, in my opinion. And my role had nothing to do with, you know, politics or anything else. I was there for one reason, because the country was off the rails. People were dying. The lockdowns were implemented. They failed to stop the spread of the infection. They failed to stop the dying. And they destroyed and inflicted a tremendous amount of harm and on families and children, particularly at the lower income. The lockdowns were a luxury of the rich, and they were being instilled and implemented without knowing the data and without thinking through what was important.
Dr. Atlas, it's Buck. You know, we just got more information the last few days, or should say more pronouncements in from Fauci and the rest about boosters. We now are being told boosters are open to all adults. They're going to want to get boosters, I'm sure, soon for kids approved. And it seems like only a matter of time before they try to make the boosters mandatory. Fauci said, we're hoping that this booster will last longer than the vaccine and give better protection. Do they have any actual data or proof that that is something that is likely to happen? Because it seems to some of us like they just don't want to tell us yet. You're going to have to get the shot every 6 months, every whatever it is they come up with on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem is that their actions have and their lack of transparency, frankly, have been harmful to the acceptance of of the vaccine by people who actually would benefit from the vaccine. I mean, here the data is the vaccines are protective against death, and that protection seems to last at least so far, except there is some data from Sweden that says it wanes, the protection against death wanes for people who are over 80. Okay, so if you're high risk, you know, it makes sense you should be taking the vaccine, high risk from COVID. If that means elderly with multiple comorbidities or young people who have these same comorbidities, that makes sense. But to say that, you know, you need a booster, well, I mean, there are people who should think about getting the booster, the high-risk people, because the protection against infection after vaccinated sort of goes down tremendously, really, after 3 to 6 months. So if you're high risk, you really should think about getting the booster. But say that children who have a very healthy children have an extremely low risk from this disease. I mean, this is proven. This was known a year and a half ago when I said it. It's been proven. It's consistent. And so to say that a child must get a vaccine for a disease they have extremely low risk for, healthy children, and then in the vaccine where the technology is new. Okay, this technology has never been used before, an mRNA vaccine. We've only had it for not even a year. Most vaccines take 5 to 10 years to make sure we have safety and efficacy data. Okay, so then to say, oh, we should start getting boosters. Okay, I mean, it's fine that they're available, but you have to realize, everyone should realize that the vaccine booster data, the safety has only been evaluated for like 30-day periods in Israel. 30 days is not a safety evaluation. And to say you need a booster, if you're protected against dying, that's what's important here. Now, high-risk people, okay, but, you know, people have to start thinking. Here's what's happened, if I may. The trust in experts has gone, okay? It's diminished, and that's appropriate that it's gone because they've destroyed it. They've not looked at the data, these so-called experts. They've issued edicts and mandates on things that were anti-science. They've denied the impact of natural immunity after recovery. We're the only country in the world that does not allow for that. We make believe somehow, the experts here, that protection does not come after being infected. That's just anti-science. That's denying basic immunology and the data on this virus. And so when they start doing these sorts of things, people have to realize, okay, we need to be critical thinkers ourselves for ourselves and our families. We need to find a doctor who's rational. And if we don't have a doctor who's a critical thinker, we need a new doctor. And we need to start analyzing and trusting people who are being consistent, who speak from the data, and who do not have an ulterior motive. When you look at people, and I'm going to put it this way, who have been in government bureaucrat jobs for 40 years, that's not because they're politically neutral. It's because they are political themselves. It's because they know how to navigate the system to make friends in the media, to make friends in the agencies. When somebody like me came in, I had no interest. Frankly, I wasn't there to make friends. I had no secondary gain. I wasn't getting a second position later on. I was there to stop people from dying and to add critical thinking. So I think at this point, we American people have to have the sense to look through the stuff ourselves, to find people who we trust, because we cannot just assume that the people in the CDC or in leadership positions in our country are really going by the data. I mean, we know this not just from the vaccines. We look at the masks. We look at the studies that they ignore and just, you know, I mean, the whole thing is still off the rails, unfortunately.
Talking to Dr. Scott Atlas, he's the senior fellow in health policy at Stanford's Hoover Institution, also has a new book out. Encourage you to check it out, A Plague Upon Our House, My Fight to Stop COVID from Destroying America. Dr. Atlas, much of the red states, it appears, have basically gotten back to normalcy. I live in Tennessee. I'm down in Florida right now. I've been all over the South during football season. People are basically back to normal. You wouldn't really know that COVID existed but for airplane travel. When are the rest of the states in this country? You're out in California. It's madness still there. Buck is in New York. How do we land the proverbial plane and get back to normalcy in your mind? What's that time frame?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, because what I say when I'm asked, when will the CDC say this? When will Dr. Fauci say this? The answer is never. You must assume it's never. There is no indication that the people in power in these states or at the national level are going to start suddenly obeying the data or looking at the data. So this is an individual thing, in my view. I've been shocked by two things. The number one shock, the first shock, was how the power of the government could be imposed upon Americans to restrict businesses, to restrict personal movement, to do all these things, to require all of these things. But the bigger surprise was the acquiescence of the American people. Okay, I think all of us are stunned. Where are the independent thinkers in the country, the independent New Yorkers? Okay, where are the Western people who are just always been valuing independent thought? We see protests going on in Europe by the thousands about these mandates, about these requirements, about these lockdowns. That's not been a feature in the United States. So this is surprising to me. Now, you're right. The states in Florida, I mean, I was one of the advisors to Governor DeSantis since last spring. He looks at the data and people move to Florida. The response was overwhelmingly positive because people want to live normal lives. So over 100% of people over 65 are vaccinated in Florida, as they are in 20 states now at this point. They've had at least one dose, which means they'll get the second dose. That's 100% in 20 states. Once you've protected the high-risk people from dying, you know, people should start thinking, okay, the point is to live your life. The point is not to be in fear of a single virus and shut down society on the basis of that bizarre focus. The public health leadership in this country has been immoral, and they've abandoned what their basic responsibility was, which was to consider all health. They've never talked about the damage from the lockdowns, and those damages were tremendous, particularly on our children. But the answer to the question is, the end is when people decide that's the end. That's the only way this will end, in my opinion.
Dr. Atlas, fantastic. We appreciate you, encourage you to check out the book, and we look forward to talking to you again down the line somewhere in the future.
Thanks for having me.
Got to tell you, as we roll into the break here, the Salvation Army is dedicated to doing the most good by meeting human needs wherever, whenever, and however they can. Every year, they help more than 30 million Americans in poverty battle daily challenges, and you can help ensure that hope marches on this holiday season. Right now, millions of people are facing decisions that could mean the difference between their family having a home or facing homelessness. Pay the mortgage, purchase groceries. With job and income loss because of our COVID response, more and more American families are finding themselves unable to pay bills and keep food on the table. Every year, Salvation Army serves more than 30 million people in the U.S. by providing food, shelter, and financial assistance to people in need. We need you to help with that cause. Right now, you can make sure hope marches on this Christmas season by dialing #250 on your phone and saying Salvation Army. You'll have the opportunity to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message that links to a donation form. Right now, dial 250 on your phone and say Salvation Army and help 30 million people in need in this country. That's #250, say Salvation Army.
Welcome into the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. As we speak to you right now, Daniel Thompson, the police chief in Waukesha, is giving an update on the situation with the what is now clearly a mass murder. He described it as homicide. Five individuals killed here. He did say it is not a terrorist incident. We did not get any updates on motivation or what happened here beyond the basic facts, which, as we've been telling you over the course of the show, this individual, Brooks, was in a car, mowed people down, five dead, dozens wounded. And they're telling us that this was just an incident of fleeing another situation. And this, I have to tell you, they're spending time right now talking about the bravery of the first responders and things like that, which is to be expected in a press conference like this. But he says there was no pursuit prior to the incident. So let's look at no pursuit of the suspect going on. And the suspect is now charged. Brooks, who was out on bail after 2 days after his arrest for trying to run someone over with a car. They're not telling us there's no evidence this is a terrorist incident. And Clay, what I would want to pose as a question, one for which I can't say I have an answer, is, okay, why did this guy do this? Because it is very clear this was not a high-speed chase that turned into a tragic accident. This guy pulled in behind a parade full of people marching and actively, willfully mowed them down. I'm sorry that they want us to believe that this somehow was an effort to escape police, but police weren't chasing him. So if the police aren't chasing him, in what universe is it credible for us to sit here and believe that this guy, now, what are the possible motivations? We laid some of them out. Maybe he just had some kind of a breakdown and decided he wanted to kill a bunch of people. He had already tried to run someone over with his car, the mother of his child, allegedly, a couple days before. But they're acting like this was an accident. This is not an accident. This is a guy who's murdered five people and dozens more severely wounded, and including children. And they're saying it's because he was fleeing. Their motivation does not make sense at this stage. And I don't know what I'm missing on this.
No, I think you're right. And we started off the show asking this question. First of all, let's talk about the video, which is awful to see. But Buck, he starts off driving slowly and then accelerates. He accelerates and drives right over, as you said, dozens of people, killing five of them. In general, you are not going, and it doesn't appear that this was some form of high-speed pursuit by police. In general, you don't create, most rational people don't, a relatively small incident in the grand scheme of things criminally and turn it into a mass murder event by accident. So the idea, and look, the closeness of this coming on the heels right after we got the verdict in Kenosha on Friday, with the fact that this is a suburb of Milwaukee on Sunday in Wisconsin, that this would happen purely by happenstance and they would be completely unconnected, seems unlikely. Seems unlikely to me. Also, if you look at what the background of this guy has done, he has been, should have never been on the streets. Let's start there. This is a failure of the criminal justice system that this guy were on the streets, but he's a serial criminal who to this point had not been a mass murderer. What occurs, Buck, that turns a serial felon into a mass murderer? That is a fairly substantial leap. And what he has in his background is attacks of Donald Trump and Trump supporters. This is on his Facebook page and some of his music that he has done. He also appears to be a BLM supporter and anti-Jewish many posts, anti-Semitic posts. All of these things taken in conjunction, and we are told, hey, there's nothing to see here effectively by the left wing in the media when they have spent over a year telling us that Kyle Rittenhouse, based on much less evidence than this, is a white supremacist. This, to me, represents what often happens, Buck, a memory holding of a story that is race-based, potentially, in a situation such as this, and a flagrant exaggeration, despite there being no evidence of a racial motive in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. The media does not cover these cases in anywhere near the same manner.
Whether it was learning interrogation and the intelligence side of things, Clay, or working with guys in law enforcement, they would always say, look for the lie, right? You find a lie and then you drill down. You find where the inconsistencies are and then you know you've got something. And here, I do not accept as an explanation for these events that this individual, Brooks, was trying to get away from whom?
It's right? Illogical.
It doesn't make any sense. And trying to get away from a knife. No one was killed in this knife incident, apparently.
Right.
So you're going to leave the knife incident by murdering five people and then mowing down a whole bunch more people. What the media does, they've done it with other incidents like this, too, is they like to retreat into this. We may never know the real motive. And that's the quote. We'll never know the real motive. And they'll do this no matter how obvious the motive actually becomes, because what they'll do is say, well, we're not in the mind of the killer, or we're not in the mind of this individual. So how can we ever really know, Clay? It almost turns into a postmodernist philosophy class. Can we ever really know why someone does the things they do? And as crazy and just rage inducing as that kind of explanation is, they've done this before. This is the routine. By the time you find out, we've already seen, I had people sending me this morning. People have been posting it. This guy is a big BLM supporter, hates Donald Trump, anti-Semitic stuff all over his social media posts. You know, if he had walked into a building full of people in Waukesha and started shooting, we wouldn't say, oh, well, this is an incident that has nothing to do with what we already know about his social media. People would say that it's at least valid to look at this as a possible motivation for what's going on. They haven't even given us a credible motivation, and they want us to shut down the discussion of this and move on from it. And we shouldn't allow it. We shouldn't allow them to do this, because how can we trust the media? Just put aside even what they're saying here, Clay. How can we trust them on this based on what they did to Kyle Rittenhouse?
I don't think there's any doubt. Look, CNN over the weekend, we were texting about it, says angry white men are the biggest threats in this country. It's flagrantly not true if you look at who commits violent crimes in this country. And look, are there Asian, white, black, Hispanic people who are crazy and commit crimes? Yes. But I want you to keep in mind what you see the media do. If a white guy does anything, it's immediately a sign of white supremacy, even if it's actually a sign of mental derangement, even if it actually has nothing to do with race. Look, the story, what do we see in the Atlanta area? I think it was, Buck, right? That idiot, crazy, lunatic white guy who shot a bunch of massage parlor people. It was described as an anti-Asian hate crime. I believe all the evidence developed was that that guy had a sexual addiction and he was clearly out of his mind. And he decided the best way to deal with that sexual addiction was by shooting a lot of different people who worked in massage parlors that he had frequented in the past. That wasn't a motivation of white supremacy. The larger context here, however, is what we should all be opposed to is violent crime. And violent crime is skyrocketing in this country everywhere. You're listening to us right now in Houston. Violent crime is up. You're listening to us in Atlanta, in LA, in New York City, in Chicago for sure. All of these different cities, San Francisco, violent crime is skyrocketing. We should all be opposed to violent crime. Unfortunately, that's not what's happening on the Democratic side of the equation.
I want to add in, Clay, that there are about Brooks and Waukesha, and it's absolutely true about violent crime, and it's something we continue to talk about here, which is the Democrat Party has embraced really the thinking of the 1970s when it was all crime is a societal problem. We all share in the blame for what the violent criminals in our midst are doing, so we shouldn't really punish them. We should find ways to rehabilitate and deal with, and it's really on us. And so if we have to suffer a little more, a few home invasions more here and there, a few more people bludgeoned to death on the way to work, well, that's because society has created these criminals. That was the old leftist thinking in the 70s into the 80s. And finally, people in the 90s said enough of this crap, and you had the Giuliani crime miracle in New York, and this spread and the miracle just being enforced the law. That's actually the straightforward antidote to all this madness. But I just wanted to say that it's five counts of intentional homicide they're charging Brooks with. Now, I know that, you know, you probably look at the specifics of the statute here. It's not an accident, folks.
Yes.
He killed these. He drove over people knowing what he was doing. And what they're telling you is he did this for apparently No, they have no idea what the motivation is. No reason whatsoever except escaping when this is the worst way conceivable in the history of the universe to come up with an escape plan.
There's no way to draw more attention to yourself than to drive over innocent people while fleeing. It's literally the worst decision you could make if you're trying to escape. We talked about this in the first hour, Buck. If you were trying to flee, and by the way, the police are saying they weren't pursuing him.
But when he was trying to do this escape plan, Clay, to your point, a cop shot at him.
Yes.
I mean, he's actually actively being shot. No one was going to shoot him driving away from the knife incident or whatever. He was getting live rounds fired at his head while he's driving, rightfully, by the way. I wish they had hit him.
They should. If you're trying to flee, how many movies have you seen? Get into a crowded parade and just vanish into the crowd. Park your car. Walk into hundreds of people. It's cold outside in Wisconsin. Everybody's got jackets. You can just disappear into the crowd on foot. That would be an easy escape. The worst possible way to escape and not and avoid drawing attention to yourself is by driving a car through a parade and driving over people. I just don't buy into it. Maybe he snapped. Maybe psychologically he had already snapped. Maybe mentally he was not there. But you can't tell me you drive through a parade and hit as many people as he did without some measure of animus involved.
That's right. This guy made an affirmative decision to kill people with his car. This wasn't just collateral damage from an escape attempt. No blanking way. Clay and I see this one exactly the same. There's just no way, folks. I mean, so they could tell you that. I don't care, by the way, if they tell you that in a week, 2 weeks. It doesn't make any sense. Something else was going through this guy's head. And I think they don't want people to talk about what else might have been going through this guy's head. That's what seems to be the situation right now. Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and his team have hooked Clay and I up with our very own MyPillows, plus all these other products from their amazing product list. You got to trust Mike to give you a great night's sleep with these MyPillows. They won't go flat. You can wash and dry them constantly. And most importantly, they're made right here in the USA. And for a limited time, Mike is offering his MyPillows. That's right, the one that started it all. For his lowest price ever, you can get a standard MyPillow for $19.98, originally $69.98. That's a $50 savings with promo code Clay and Buck. The King Pillow, Clay, only $10 more. I got a couple Kings on my bed.
Oh, I love it, Buck. I'm down on the road now. We're getting them for the new place that we've got down in Florida so we can make sure that we're resting comfortably everywhere. And right now, you can get a money-back guarantee trial till March 1st of next year. How do you do it? It's easy. Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials, enter the promo code Clay and Buck, and you can call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials. One more time, MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials, and save yourself a bundle at MyPillow.com.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
We should also tell viewers, you're the former vice president of the Virginia Board of Education. So explain how you think race should be taught in Virginia public schools.
Well, let me back up. I beg to differ that CRT is not taught.
I didn't say that. I just said it's not in the curriculum, just to be clear.
No. It is part of the curriculum. It's weaved in and out of the curriculum. In fact, in 2015, former governor, who was just defeated, McAuliffe, his state board of education had information on how to teach it. So it's weaved in. So, you know, it's semantics, but it's weaved in. What we want to say, and what Governor-elect Youngkin has said, is that all of history must be taught. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because what we learn from history, Dana, is that we don't learn from history, and we continue to repeat the same mistakes.
Yes, from Winsome Sears there, the new lieutenant governor in the new year of Virginia, laying it down on this, the semantics games over CRT. And the way that we constantly hear from Democrats, oh, well, it's not really CRT, or it's not officially CRT. She understands the state of Virginia. It absolutely is being taught, and she's holding CNN to account there for the lies. But I have to say that at some level, I'm hopeful that some Democrats, or that the Democrat narrative, that the apparatus continues to push the idea that the only reason that Glenn Youngkin won in Virginia is racism. That the only reason parents show up at any of these teacher meetings and these school board meetings is racism, and that it's just some kind of a white backlash situation or whatever it is. I'd like them to continue with this madness because it's a delusion. It's not true. Enough people recognize that it's a stupid smear that won't deal with the real issue of left-wing indoctrination of children, and it's likely to cause enormous challenges, enormous losses, let's be honest, for Democrats in the midterms. And none other than Bill Maher is out there making a similar case right now to people. He's trying to tell Democrats, as a Democrat, if you stick with this woke madness, it's really dumb. You're going to get annihilated here.
I know liberals think this country is full of dumb white people, but in our democracy, dumb white people make up a substantial portion of the vote. The median voter is a white person in their 50s who didn't go to college. Their favorite TV show is NCIS. And their pronouns are what? I don't know what the f*** you're talking about, and get away from me. In 2008, Republicans only won 4 Virginia counties by more than 70%. This month, in the governor's election there, they did it in 45 counties. And this is what a lot of Democrats were told was the reason for that. Glenn Youngkin's win proves white ignorance is a powerful weapon. Racism still works in Virginia. Well, I haven't worked up an official Democratic campaign slogan for 2024 yet, but I tell you what I have ruled out is vote Democrat because white people suck.
He sees it, Clay. I almost don't want Democrats to catch on.
I think everybody sees it. And this is why, I mean, to a larger extent, this is why our audience is exploding every single month, why it keeps growing. Because for a long time, there's been 40% who kind of see it. There's 40% who completely reject it. And there's 20% in the middle. And I think what's happened over the last couple of years, Buck, is I think there's about 20% that are hardcore committed to far left-wing ideology in the Democratic Party. And you're seeing it from a Bill Maher, from a James Carville, from even Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson came out and said the woke universe had gone too far. And so I think what we're talking about is 20% that are committed to this revolutionary ideology that brands everyone who disagrees racist, sexist, homophobic, without redemptive quality. And I think there's 80% of the American public that is over it. And that's why we're not even just talking to conservatives now, Buck. We're expanding the universe here of reasonable people every single day to a massive degree. And I think you're right. To the extent that the AOCs of the world and her ilk continue to speak out as they are. To me, it was perfect evidence of this, Buck, with Joe Biden. Rittenhouse verdict comes out. Joe Biden gives an initial statement that's fairly middle of the road, says, hey, you have to respect the will of the jury. Within a couple of hours, that was not woke enough, and they issued a statement talking about how outraged he was. Well, wait a minute. We saw him talk ourselves, and then that statement comes out. They're constantly genuflecting to the altar of the woke, and the true believers get smaller and smaller every day.
Angry and concerned was what Biden said in that follow-up statement, and if we had a real press corps, which we do not.
Yes.
They would ask Joe Biden, angry, why? Why are you angry at this jury verdict?
Why didn't you say it to us a couple hours before?
Right. Why is it that change of heart happened? You know, Maher also on his show said, Clay, that he wants AOC to actually be willing to come on a place like his show, his platform, and defend the lunacy of some of what the far left of the Democrat Party is pushing. Listen.
A more pertinent question to ask about the word woke might be, why in such a short time has it gone from a rallying cry to a pejorative? If the word only made you think of rational, deserved causes like teaching a less whitewashed version of American history, AOC would still want to own it. But it's a joke. Because it makes you think of people who wake up offended and take orders from Twitter. That said, I would love to have AOC on this show. There's so much to admire there. I was one of her first supporters for the Green New Deal idea. But that will probably never happen because Democrats don't go anywhere these days where they're not pre-adored.
Clay, this is a key point. I've been saying this for a long time, for years now, which is that, you know, even a place like CNN used to be a different institution. You could go and be a conservative and they hated you,
yes.
But they would put you on. They won't even put you on air anymore. You're not even allowed to make the conservative case on air and have people shout you down and yell at you in the commercial break and all the rest of it. Trust me, I know. I'm sorry. You know, too. I'm not alone in this,
yeah.
But they will not allow it. AOC's beliefs, the things that she says, she recently, and this is what I think Maher was referring to, and this ties into the entire panic among Democrats who are smart and understand where the country's trending right now, that they are heading into a historic wipeout. I mean, maybe
yes.
The biggest political wipeout we've seen in a midterm election in our lifetimes. And they understand that when someone like AOC will say, well, wokeness is just some term that old white people use now. Oh, I'm sorry. Wokeness is a term that they were using all the time. It was something, oh man, I'm woke. It was something that was cool. It was in the zeitgeist, right? It was, oh man, I'm so woke. But it has turned into something else because when you announce your pronouns for no reason, when you say that men can get pregnant, when you think that everything is offensive, even when no one's offended by it, but you pretend, people pick up after a while and they figured it out. So that's why her defense here is incoherent. And that's why she won't go on Bill Maher or any semi-rational person show.
And this we should make clear. Buck and I are welcome to go on other people's shows who might disagree with us. In fact, we'll do it. We don't run and hide. We believe in what we believe, but we're not afraid in being attacked for that. And by the way, this is why we offered Dr. Fauci the opportunity to come talk on our show. He has time to do every media outlet just about in the entire country. If they're left wing, we would ask him respectful questions. We would be direct with him. But you know what? People are afraid to actually engage in a battle of ideas. I don't mean just randomly attack people. I mean, sit down and go head to head with things you disagree about. That's become rare. We're not afraid to do it on this show, but that makes us unique. And also, I think, is why so many of you are coming in every single day, why the big tent of the Clay and Buck Show is expanding and adding new listeners.
I'll tell this right now. I'll put this out there. I'll go on any CNN show of any host who has said that Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist or a murderer and have and represent
the other side.
Rittenhouse side of the conversation. Anyone at MSNBC, I'll put it out there. Well, it has to be a topic that's worth talking about, and it has to be live, so they can't play any games, because they do that stuff over there, too. When it comes to building consistency and stability in the way you save and protect the money you've earned, gold has a place. That's because it's proven to be a valuable commodity and holds its value in the face of inflation and runaway housing costs, among other increases we're already contending with. Buying gold and placing it within your IRA or as part of your savings account, those are both smart moves. Gold will hold its value, and it has stood the test of time. Now, when you buy it, you can actually take physical possession of it. You can have it delivered to your home so you can hold it and then store it in a safe place. That's what I did. Oxford Gold Group is the company that made it possible. My friends at the Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call to put this into motion for yourself. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA, it is just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-GOLD.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Who's there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is severely injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans and who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families.
The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America in so many ways. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute's educating kids in K through 12 grades to help our nation keep its vow to never forget.
More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams, offering over 330 academic programs as of September 2023. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
404-GOLD.